The Daily Connect Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. It's Monday, the 14th of January, 2019, and it's Stephen Scott here with you once again. Coming up on the podcast today, we are going to hear all about a new survey that is taking place that you can get involved in, and it all relates to public transport, in particular trains. What's your experience been of getting assistance on a train or train travel itself? Well, this is what the Office of Rail and Road have come up with, a consultation asking for your views so that they can improve the service in the future. Well, RNIB has got involved as well. It's created its own survey out of the questions that have come from the consultation, and all of that information that RNIB gathers will be sent to the Office of Rail and Road. That's really important for you to know, so you don't have to take part in it twice. You can just take part in the RNIB survey, and that'll save you having to get into the mire of a nightmare that probably is the Office of Rail and Road survey and consultation. So if you want to know more about that, stick around. We'll give you that information shortly. We'll be joined by Lisa Hughes from RNIB's campaigns team to tell us about that. But first, we are going to find out about an appeal for volunteers.
Hi everyone, it's Claire here from RNIB, and I'm here to tell you about a really exciting involvement opportunity that we have coming up. Our events team is looking for customers to join a very special project group. This group will be responsible for designing and developing a major awards ceremony that's taking place in November 2019. This year, RNIB is relaunching the Vision Pioneer Awards. The awards will become a regular fixture on the RNIB calendar and one of our most high-profile events. Through this fantastic occasion, we will celebrate and honour the achievements of people with sight loss, as well as celebrating professionals, volunteers and advocates. We are looking for 2 to 3 people with sight loss who can bring their lived experience into this process. It would also benefit the project to have someone who has previous experience or an interest in planning and facilitating events. We also need you to have an email address or telephone number to allow for regular communication with us. The project will run between January and November 2019, so your support would be required throughout this time. If this sounds like something that you would be interested in, email involvement@rnib.org.uk to request a role description. That's involvement@rnib.org.uk. Thank you, and really hope to hear from you soon.
Get involved. Thanks, Claire.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio, and we're talking this morning about passenger assistance, train travel, and all of those things about getting around while using public transport, trains in particular, that cause us perhaps difficulty, challenges, however you want to put it. With me on the line is Lisa Hughes, who's a campaigns officer at RNIB. Morning to you, Lisa.
Morning, Stephen.
And the reason you're here is because we want to talk to you about a consultation that's opened up asking about people's opinions about all of those aforementioned things. So tell us what the consultation is all about and where it came from.
Okay. The Office of Road and Rail have launched a consultation on revising their guidance for train and station operators to make sure the railway is more accessible for disabled people. They plan to reform their Disabled People's Protection Policy guidance. This guidance sets out the arrangements and assistance train and station operators must provide to protect the interests of disabled people that use their services. At RNIB, we believe that high-quality passenger assistance, work in audio announcements, stations that are easy to navigate, and accessible ways to book tickets in person, online, or via the phone are key to a barrier-free journey. But we know many blind and partially sighted people face unacceptable barriers when travelling by train. So we've undertaken a survey to get the opinions of blind or partially sighted people to find out what matters to them in this consultation. And then we will submit a response to the Office of Road and Rail. So we have a survey open which collects the views of blind or partially sighted people on some of the main points that the Office of Road and Rail are asking. And then our campaigns manager, Fran, will submit a response based on the responses that she gets from this survey.
So what we've got here is a survey, which is from RNIB, which kind of, as you say, collates of what the Office and of Road and Rail are asking, in a kind of easier, maybe to understand way, because often these things can be a bit daunting for people, but they do want to get involved in some way. So this helps people do that wherever they are in the country. But for those who want to get a bit more involved and are in certain parts of the country, there are events happening, aren't there, where people can go along and express their views.
Okay, so we've got a few focus groups that are yet to be held. The next one is in the West Midlands, and that's today, Monday the 14th of January, and that's between 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. and that's been held at the Birmingham and Midland Institute. The contact for that would be Rebecca Swift. The next one is the Northwest, and again, that's been held today at 11 to 1 p.m. And the location for that one is RNIB's office on the fifth floor in Manchester. Contact for that would be Terry Ballin. The one after that is Thursday the 17th of January, and that's from 10 to 12 o'clock. And the location for that is Site Support in Worthing. And then finally, we're holding one on Friday the 18th of January from 2 to 4 p.m., and that's in London, and that's at the Pocklington Hub, which is in Tavistock Square, King's Cross. And the contact for that would be Francesca DiGiorgio.
Now, of course, those events are happening this week, but if people aren't in those areas, as you've said, we can take part in the survey which RNIB has put together. So yeah. Where can people find out more about that and get that survey?
So the survey is on the RNIB website. So you would go to www.rnib.org.uk/campaigning. /transport, and there you'll see a survey. The survey also gives you the option to phone if you prefer not to take it online. You can also phone us and somebody will help you take it over the phone. The number to call for that is 0207 391 2123.
That is fantastic. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about this, because I think it's really important that people get the opportunity to have their say on this. I know it's an endless conversation I see happening on forums online and people talking about their experience of train travel and the assistance that you get. So, you know, it's important that we have our say on this together as a group of blind people. I know we'll all have different views, perhaps, but at least have the opportunity to express those views. That's really important. So, Lisa, thank you for that.
Thank you.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now it's time to hear one of our stories from one of our listeners. Brian Doherty met up with Kirsty Campbell, who works for RNIB Northern Ireland, and told his story of learning IT and how it paved the way not just to learn about computers, but how to get involved with other people and get out and about.
I've had RP since it's a genetic disease. I've had it all my life, but it never really manifested itself until I was in my 30s. I still kept working and doing all the things I usually did until I was 40, and then my eyesight deteriorated very rapidly. And it was at this time, 2006, that I became registered blind. I couldn't work in the construction industry anymore, couldn't drive the car, and it was a big change for me. I suppose at that time I went through a period of depression. There was no counselling available for me at that time, so somehow or other I was lucky enough to be able to get myself back out of that and start to find something positive in life again. But it did give me focus, gave me direction on where I wanted to go, and I wanted to become a counsellor so that I could help other people handle change and loss in their lives. I went back to study at 46, and 4 years later I qualified as a counsellor, and now I work for a GP practice in Ballymena, and also I have my own private practice.
I think of whenever you're starting to find struggles, did you just go through the GP and they suggest things, or were you ever talking to RNIB or get to anybody else?
Probably initially, no. I had very little contact with anybody. It was just I had regular appointments at the Royal with Miss Silvestri, the consultant, and then I started to find out about RNIB and guide dogs as I went along, you know. But RNIB have helped me in the past. Just I did a little course one time on the use of the iPad and stuff like that, and I'm doing a course now with Tracy where she's teaching me how to touch type, so that if my eyesight does deteriorate worse, that I can still use a keyboard and be able to use a computer.
Are you just going through any particular software then?
She will be teaching me about a software program called JAWS. Mm-hmm. I already have some familiarity with Zoom Text, mm-hmm. although I have heard that JAWS might be more suitable for my condition. Mm-hmm.
So in your role as counsellor now, would you use technologies? Or are you hoping this will be able to help with that side of things? Or what are you going to get out of it?
I'm hoping that this could make things a lot easier for me. As yet, I still take my notes, just handwritten notes.
Right, okay.
But it's becoming increasingly difficult to read and write. So I think this IT course is going to be really beneficial to me in the future. A lot of people don't know what's available. Even up until lately, I didn't know just how much RNIB could offer. But the other side of it is that the time has to be right for people to reach out for help. And it actually, there's a parallel between that and even the job I do now. It has to be the right time for people to come for counselling. Family or friends pushing them and trying to coerce them into going for help. It has to be the time's right for them, and they make up their own minds, and then it becomes something very positive.
We do have the counselling service now with them Need to Talk, thankfully, through the EU funding. So it's just to say to anybody that's available there, if you do say that's something for you now, just get in contact with the RNIB helpline. That's 0303 123 9999.
That number again, Kirsty mentioned there, 0303 123 9999. That is the RNIB helpline number.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now time to find out what's happening in Northern Ireland, in the theatres in particular, finding out what is going on in regards to audio-described theatre performances. Here's Amy Stewart.
This is your theatre audio description update for Northern Ireland. I'm Amy, one of the audio describers with NI Sightlines, and I'd like to tell you about some of the shows that are coming up in February. First up is The Bodyguard at the Grand Opera House. This international smash hit musical is based on the film. It stars Alexandra Burke, the winner of The X Factor, and it's on Saturday the 16th of February, the matinee at 2:30. And next is Sweeney Todd at the Lyric. This is Stephen Sondheim's musical about the demon barber of Fleet Street, and it's with the Lyric Theatre Company and NI Opera. It's on Thursday the 21st of February at 7:45 in the evening. If you want to get in touch with the Grand Opera House, the box office can be phoned on 028 9024 1919. That's 028 9024 1919. Or to book for the Lyric, call 028 9038 1081. That's 028 9038 1081 for the Lyric. Thanks, I'll be back soon with some more details about other shows coming up this spring.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, have you ever wondered how you could get involved in sponsoring a talking book? Here's Robert Kirkwood.
Have you listened to a talking book that started like this?
Hello, my name's Moira G. I'm delighted to introduce this RNIB talking book, Hunting Icarus, which was written by my brother, Gordon Anthony.
That's Moira G reading the dedication to her brother Anthony's book, and we'll find out more in a moment, as I'm joined by RNIB fundraiser Angela Preston.
So I'm the Area Fundraising Manager for Community Fundraising in the East of Scotland. We encourage lots of volunteers in Scotland to fundraise for us, and that could be from bake sales to challenge events to basically anything they'd like to do. So it's about raising awareness of RNIB. But also about raising funds either for talking books or holding a T4NIB or getting involved in our national campaigns, Shades for Sight, or In the Dark events.
What I've heard is that when people sponsor a talking book, they get something at the end of it. They get a copy of that book.
Yeah, so they get a USB stick with their own dedication on. So anybody who fundraises for a talking book can record their own personal dedication, which is heard by the listener every time it's downloaded, which is fantastic. And I've recorded some brilliant dedications, but they also receive the first chapter and their dedication and a thank you from Julian Fellows.
And what have been some memorable fundraising activities?
Oh, I've absolutely been involved in some fantastic fundraising. So a great example of some of our community efforts. So some local towns have come together to raise funds for talking books, and that's involved lots of businesses and groups, individuals, choirs, which has been a fantastic effort. And that's happened across Scotland. I've had people who have sight loss who have wanted to give something back to RNIB. So they've been involved in their own fundraising events in their towns. They've taken part in skydives, taken part in the kilt walk. So there's been lots of different activities happening there. And one of the really memorable ones for me was Moira G, who is Gordon Anthony's sister. So Gordon lost his sight several years ago, and only after losing his sight became an author himself. And Moira decided to fundraise for talking books and actually ended up sponsoring her own brother's book, Hunting Icarus, which is now in the RNIB library.
And tell me about Peebles.
Oh, so Peebles has been really unique and something that has absolutely snowballed even beyond my wildest expectations. So Peebles is the first community to fundraise for talking books as a community. So dividing the £2,500 cost of a talking book across several businesses and groups, they initially agreed to pilot this initiative and was going to raise funds for one talking book. They've actually now just raised over £17,000 and have added almost 10 books into the library. And that has just absolutely, as I say, it's snowballed. It's been phenomenal. There's been local businesses, uniform groups, Costa Coffee, churches, banks. Yeah, it's just been phenomenal, and it's been an absolute pleasure for me to work with some really, really enthusiastic volunteers who actually had never had any connection with RNIB at all until we brought the initiative to the town.
And there was a cycle ride around Britain.
Yes, so Ken Reed, who has retinitis pigmentosa, wanted to mark the 30th anniversary of him being told he was losing his sight, so embarked upon a 750-mile tandem cycle across the UK. It was the very first challenge that I was certainly involved in when I came to RNIB, and it was phenomenal. We raised awareness, we met new pilots, we got involved with so many different organisations across the UK, and Ken was just an amazing ambassador for RNIB and for Talking Books.
Now, you mentioned pilots. What are those in the context of tandem biking?
So Ken had to have a sighted pilot. So on a tandem, Ken sits on the back. I believe that's called a stoker. And we had to basically recruit a sighted pilot to sit on the front of the tandem and steer Ken around the UK. So we recruited pilots from all the different areas that knew the local roads. And until Ken met them on the day of his cycle, he had never met them at all before. So he really had to put his trust in everybody that he'd recruited. So and it all worked out really, really well. He's made some lifelong friends along the way.
Now, since we're looking behind the scenes at fundraising for RNIB, do you go to the people or do the people come to you, or is it a mixture of both?
It's definitely a mix, yeah. So I'm proactively looking all the time for people who might be interested in sponsoring a talking book. I think talking books is a fantastic product because whether you're a company or an individual or a group, we can all resonate with and the enjoyment of reading books. So it's a really nice product to offer somebody. But yes, we do have people who come to us as well. So that might be somebody who has had some support, or their family have had support from RNIB, or a local business who knows about RNIB and wants to give something back to their community. So it is a real mix. And every week there's a different challenge that comes along from that. So it's a really interesting and varied role that I'm involved in.
And what about the people who support you within RNIB?
We have some great teams in RNIB. In fact, again, one of the first initiatives in the UK, which I'm really proud of, is our local policy and external affairs team took the community model and divided the cost of a talking book themselves and were involved in walking Hadrian's Wall, walking the West Highland Way, did quizzes, did lots of different things to come together to raise funds for a talking book. So I'm very proud of them, and they have sponsored the Purple Swamp Hen by Penelope Lively, which is now going into the library.
Now, if there's anyone listening who fancies getting involved in raising funds for RNIB, what would you say to them?
Please just go for it. We need more books into the library every day, every week, every month. And, you know, there's never too many people who fundraise for us. It's a fantastic way to get involved. It's a lovely thing to give to somebody with sight loss. Who doesn't love enjoying a new book or hearing from a new author? So I would say definitely we'll be more than happy to support you. And I look forward to dealing with anybody who'd like to record their own dedication, which again is a really fun thing to do. We've had a few bloopers and a few tries and a few different ways of recording the dedication, but some of them have actually been really personal. So to be part of even recording the dedications is a real privilege for me. And that's the end result of a huge amount of effort and fundraising from different people.
I'm in the privileged position of having access to the entire history of the RNIB Talking Books Library. And I know those dedications will last forever because there are books that were recorded in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s that still have the original dedication on them. So it's going to last a long time.
Yes, absolutely.
And for more information, head to rnib.org.uk and click Donations and Fundraising, or just search for Sponsor a Talking Book. Angela, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
There you go. That's how you can sponsor a talking book. And that's our podcast for today. The show is back tomorrow live from 10. And you can also catch us on the podcast just after 5 tomorrow night. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
The Daily Connect Podcast.